something. I don't, maybe they got too much last week, but we're here. Thankful for you being here. I don't know. I just never can get enough of Jesus. I don't know about you. But just looking forward to our spring. I noticed the picnic is right around the corner. Guess what? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to fry fish that entire picnic. I think I've got 200 fillets if you can eat them all. And we'll have a good time at the picnic. Our camps, our Royal Ranger Network camp is coming up for our boys. Our youth and children's camps are cut. I mean, we're talking about summer. Are you ready for summer? Wow. The camps are coming up for all our kids. Here in a few weeks, we'll take a camp offering just to support the children and the youth of our church. But it's just, we've got it. We don't quit having church in the summer. And so it's just an exciting time ahead. The Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, I'm kind of just unpack it, give you a little intro today, and then we'll be just taking one at a time for the next few weeks. We got so much coming. Mother's Day is right around the corner, and we get to celebrate moms. How about, give the moms a hand this morning. And then we're going to celebrate graduates. We've got college graduates this year and high school graduates. And then we're going to celebrate our vets in Memorial Day. And then June, last but not least, we're going to celebrate dads. And so it's exciting. Anyway, Matthew 5 might be the most powerful sermon ever preached. It would certainly be considered, maybe by many, the most powerful sermon ever preached. And you remember who preached it, don't you? Jesus preached it. It answers a lot of questions. And we're going to answer those questions the next couple of months. Let me ask you this morning a few questions. What does it mean to be a Christian? Not only what does it mean to be a Christian, but what standard should a Christian live by? What is the standard? How should we live? What do we believe? Hopefully we believe this, don't we? How should we behave? What is Christian character? We'll talk about that the next few weeks. I've heard people say, well, what's so special about being a Christian? What is so special about being a Christian? Some would say, well, I can't see the difference. You know, Christians are just like others and others are just like Christians. What is the difference? What difference does it make? Matthew 5, 1 and 2, and we'll unpack those two verses today, just the intro, says this. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, because the crowds were following him on a regular basis, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. You know, he was saying, he would go on to say, blessed, blessed, blessed. Hello, Lord. Is that you, or are you calling somebody in our congregation? I'm trying to see who's hunkered down out there. You remember when cell phones first came out, we thought it was a sin to let one ring in church. Oh. But by now it's happened to all of us somewhere publicly, hasn't it? I guess we're all sinners. Jesus is calling this morning. That's what we just read. He went up on a mountain, he called them, and he called disciples to come up on the mountain. You can take the scripture down. He's calling. It's a high calling. You may not know, but this morning when you came, Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, was going to be here to call you. When you go to work, he's calling. When you go to school, he's calling. When you meet in small groups, men's, women's, he's calling. And he's calling you this morning. And it's a high calling. Do you hear the ring of the Holy Spirit tugging your heart? Jesus is calling, and he calls us today to live in a better way, to live at a higher level. Jesus is calling you. Jesus is calling us to really be Bible-believing, Holy Spirit Christians, regardless of what we do. We're not all called to pastor, but Jesus is calling pastors and missionaries here this morning. He's calling Christian businessmen and business ladies, all kinds of things. But the Lord has called everybody, and he's calling today. He's pulling, he's tugging. He's wanting more for us. It says the disciples followed him up the mountain and up. And I was going to say it later. I'll say it now. When you read Matthew 7, you find out maybe he was trying to pull the learners away for a little intimate instruction. And I'm sure that he was. But before he got through with the message, the crowd had followed him up the mountain. What are you willing to do this morning? How are you willing to respond to the calling of God upon your life? Every Christian is being dialed up this morning. Do you hear the phone ringing? It's a higher calling. In the original scripture, it means to be called out or called ones. We've been called out. Not that we walk around with our chest puffed out or we walk around in pride and arrogance because that stinks in the Lord's sight. But we've been called to be different. Christians, if they're living in relationship with Jesus Christ, what should be becoming more like Christ and less like themselves? But we're different. We're being made different than those that don't know Christ. And there may be some of you who haven't made Christ your Savior this morning. You're going to get a chance because Jesus loves you. He's calling you this morning. But so many times people in the world can't tell the difference in us and them because there's no difference in our behaviors. Jesus is calling us to biblical Christianity. And if we ever needed it in this world, it's right now in our country. For Christian people, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to really practice and live what they believe. He's calling this morning up to a higher place. Throughout history, God was always calling and always had called a people to himself. From the beginning of the book to the end of the book. Oh, and let me just take a step back again. And the ones he's calling, he wants to bless. The whole beatitude is bless, 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 bless. I think I got them all in. He wants to bless those he's called. It's always been that way. He called Abraham, and I'll just read it in Genesis 12:1. So the Lord had said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I mean, he called Abraham away from what he is used to, what he had been raised in, his habits, his customs. He called him out. to be one of his people. Same thing with Moses was called. Leviticus 18, 2 and 3 said, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You must not do as they do in Egypt where you used to live. And you must not do as they do in the land of Canaan where I'm bringing you. Do not follow their practices." When you make Jesus Christ your Savior, yes, you love everybody. You never put yourself above anybody anywhere. We should be loving and honorable to all people across the board. But we, when we've got Christ in our heart, have been called and are being made different. I'll probably say that a few more times. As he called Moses out, he promised to bless him. In fact, for the called out ones, for the disciples or the Christians, those that are in relationship with Christ, he's always, from the beginning of the cover to the end of the cover, promised to bless them wherever they go. Jesus is talking about it here. He promised the Israelites they would come to the land of milk and honey. Abundant blessing. And then today, as we read, the same calling is on the disciples. And it's the same for us as it is for disciples, because we are disciples, right? If we know Jesus Christ, we are disciples. Matthew 5 and 14, talking about us are those of us that know Christ. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill cannot be hidden. He goes on to say two verses later, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Christians, he's calling us to shine a light in the dark world we live in. To offer hope. To offer something better. They don't call the gospel the good news for no reason. It is the good news. We've been called. I mean, it's in and of ourselves, we can't make a difference. But with Christ in us, we can make a difference. And we should be everywhere. People want to look at us and say, I don't know what it is about you, but I like it. Matthew 5 and 48 said, be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Now, and I teach this all the time. It doesn't, are you ever going to be perfect? Look to your neighbor and say, are you going to be perfect? What's the answer? No, but it means be made perfect. Let me make you complete. Let me grow you. Let me mature you. Let me bring you to a place of completion. Let me continue to work in your life. God, listen, God is working in some of y'all's lives in such a deep way. We're here for about 2 hours on a Sunday morning, an hour and a half on a Wednesday night, and a lot of our small group studies through the week, men's and women's, and young adults will be out this afternoon. I'm excited about that. But God's at work in the called's lives all the time. And the deeper work usually takes place when we're not here. Because that's where the rubber meets the road and changes come in our life if we choose to change. But as we walk with Christ, we're continually being completed. It's a lifelong process walking with Him. And someday, church, we will see Him face to face. And the Scripture says that we will be as He is. I can't even comprehend it. I've tried to think about it for a long time. Jesus is calling. In Matthew 6 and 8, Jesus said, do not be like them, meaning those that don't know Christ. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Don't be like the world or like the religious Pharisees. If you just put the Christian sticker on your head just to show up to church, it's not any much more than religion. Although I think one of our core values ought to be never miss church, if at all possible. Be in relationship with Jesus. Be in daily relationship with Christ. Don't just be religious and go through the motions. And don't be like the world. Dear Lord Jesus, the Bible teaches one man and one woman, and we're not budging. We believe that you're born a male or a female. You don't get to choose. God already made that decision. And I'm using some extreme examples, but boy, it hadn't become so extreme in our culture anymore, has it? Jesus is calling us to a higher way. See, Jesus calls us to a different standard, not just a higher standard, that we live differently than others, that we love differently than others, that we're more patient than others, that we're kinder than others, that we're more generous than others. It's a higher standard and a higher way of living. It's different. So again, I ask the question this morning, and the Beatitudes teach us this, and we'll be going through this for 2 months. What are the standards that Christians should live by? We will be seeing comparisons and contrasts. What is the difference? What difference does it make if I'm a Christian? For many, they call this a Christian manifesto, the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Within this manifesto are Christian values that we live by. See, if you determine your values, when the temptation comes to waffle, you won't waffle because you will stand on what you believe. When you're tempted to lie, you won't lie. Because it's not your personal core value. Just talking to somebody recently, great Christian people, but the core values of their personal life does not line up with the core values of their business life. That shouldn't be. It's not okay to tell a white lie to your wife. It's not okay to tell a white lie to your employer. Because we see the ethics of the kingdom of God in the Sermon on the Mount. We see how to live and what to do. We see character traits that we will talk about. Ethics, devotion, lifestyle, attitudes. Did you know a bad attitude is one of the worst sins on the planet? I don't know where I come up with it. Yeah, I do. You know why the Israelites didn't get to go in the land of milk and honey? Grumbling. Negative attitude. Oh, well, we don't ever think about that one much. See, the world needs to see the salt and the light of Christ. Look, I think most of the world, and yes, we'll be persecuted, and yes, Satan will rise up, and yes, there are evil forces that have agendas against the kingdom of God. There is no question about that. But greater is He that is in us than is He that is in the world. And we need to be the salt and the light of this world with the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of Jesus Christ living out, being people of character and integrity and truth-telling and working hard and serving and loving and helping. We need to be those people that are different than some other people in the world, that's like a city on a hill shining a light in this dark world. We've got to be different. We need to cry out this morning, dear Holy Spirit, if somebody can't tell I'm a Christian, oh gosh, would that be the worst? For nobody not to know you love Jesus? For nobody not to know because there's nothing different about you? If you're a born again, believing, Spirit filled, Holy Spirit filled Christian, everybody, if they've been around you for 15 minutes, ought to know that there's something different about us. And His name is Jesus. Jesus. If you've got Jesus in your heart and the Holy Spirit burning in your belly, you can't help but let the whole world know that something's different about you. Woo! I haven't got red-faced in a while. I'm excited. Look, if I'll give up preaching. I promise you, when I quit preaching, passionate will be the day I stop. But let's take that another level. The day we quit living our Christianity with passion and zeal and zest and joy and blessedness is the day we need to find something else to do. Whew, that was tough. Jesus is so dadgone good. I love him so much. It's a higher calling. Number two, my goodness, I took too long on the first point. You want to have an altar call now? Listen, I think by now, and I'm looking at you, and y'all are in the game this morning, don't you feel the loving but challenging tug of the Holy Spirit pulling you up, pulling you to be more than you ever thought you could be? Pulling you above where you are now. We're not supposed to be beneath it all. We're supposed to be above it all. Satan has no power over us. He's supposed to be under our foot, not over our lives. Come on! Being a Christian because of Jesus Christ is the only way to go. It's a higher calling. You hear the phone this morning? Can you hear the ringing of the Holy Spirit? Will you answer the call? Well, number two, and these kind of all go together. It's not just a higher calling. It's just flat out a better way to live. I remember after I got saved and I had some alcohol issues, as many of you know. And you know, when you got alcohol issues, you're not responsible. And I was irresponsible. And sometimes I drove when I shouldn't have been driving. And the police pulls in behind you. Hold her on the road, Dale. Since I found Christ and living for Jesus, I've never had that feeling since then. What are you saying, Pastor? It's a better way to live. Love, joy, peace, telling truth, taking care of people, putting others before yourself, loving, serving, giving, being people of character. Dear Lord, it's just a better way to live than living in sin and darkness and sexual immorality and bending the truth and manipulating others and living in depression and oppression and always working it and always trying to climb the ladder and tell two or three lies to make another buck. Which way would you rather live? It's a better way to live. Living for Jesus is not a bad thing. Living for Jesus is a good thing. Even if, look, you need Jesus in your heart to be saved. If you're not saved this morning, before the day's over, invite Him in to be Lord and Savior of your life. And He'll give you eternal life. But I said that to say this. If you just live this way and Jesus isn't your Savior, it's a better way to live. It's good living. But I wouldn't recommend it. I would recommend you ask Christ into your heart and spend eternity in heaven and not eternity in hell. Plus, we need His power. See, customarily, rabbis, when they were going to teach for extended periods of time, would sit down to teach. And the people would sit around them. Sometimes it'd be the synagogue. Sometimes it'd be actually the temple courts back in Jesus' days and other places. But to sit and teach would designate that person, rabbi, as a person who had authority and knowledge to give to others. And of course he opened his mouth. But the emphasis here is that he opened his mouth because he was getting ready to say something special. Just to give you a feel for the language here. Jesus was constantly talking, as were we, but he said, you know what, come on up. He come up, a rabbi is going to sit and teach, and he said, the emphasis is like, I'm getting ready to tell you something very, very special. Well, when Jesus says that, you know what it does for me? I want to lean in just a little bit. Because everything Jesus said is special. But if he's emphasizing, well, come on in here. I got some things that are really important. It makes me lean in a little bit. And you know what he's going to do? It says, and he taught them. The Greek word in this case is in the imperfect tense. And here's what it means to teach in this context. It means I'm going to teach you, I'm going to continue to teach you, and I'm never going to stop teaching you. we had a parenting conference yesterday that I think was phenomenal. And I had one person say that they didn't learn anything new. And I just smiled and said, well, praise the Lord, it was a good experience to be here. But I thought to myself, I've been attempting to be a decent parent for 28 or 9 years, and I had a couple things that I learned. I guess I'm behind the curve a little. You'd have to ask my kids. I'm sure they see room for improvement. Don't say a word, Kylie. Just sit there and smile. She's sitting there like this. You're never going to know it all about anything until you go be with Jesus. Jesus will teach you, continue to teach you, and listen to this, will never stop teaching you. Are you willing to hear and learn and apply what he's saying? Because he's never going to stop. I guarantee you. The Ranger men we have are doing a good job, and men, sign up. We need to make men out of boys. I could go to a Ranger devotion, and Josh, Eric, Pastor Lawrence, and maybe it's a 10 or 15 minute devotion, I guarantee you I can leave with something. Even if it's a repetition, it's something I needed. Hello. Look to your neighbor and say, don't ever say you've heard that before. When you've been in the church for a while, we've just about heard everything, but we need to hear it again. No, let me emphasize it this way. We need to hear it again. I heard some things yesterday that I had learned and even practiced as a parent that I needed to hear again. And it was good for me to hear it. And I took some notes. Oh, yeah. Lost a little focus in that area. Refocus, Dale. Anyway, does anybody hear what I'm saying? Jesus will teach and continue to teach. And listen, it's not one and done with Jesus Christ. You know, you hear it in the college basketball world now. They come in, they're freshmen, they go to college, one and done. Jesus is not one and done. It starts when you repent of your sins, confess your sins to God, invite Jesus Christ into your heart, make him Lord and Savior of your heart. But it's not over then. It's just begun. You're saved. You can spend eternity in heaven, of course. But it's just the starting line. It's just the beginning. When is the last time you learned something from the Lord? Write it down. Write it down. You are thinking, aren't you? What was the last thing the Lord? What was the last thing you learned from the Lord?
About 20 years ago, I had it all down pat.
1 year into salvation, I kind of thought I knew it all. About 2 years in, Lord, what a mess. We never arrive. With Christ, we're always arriving. And he's calling this morning. He's calling us to refocus on what really matters, which first is our relationship with him. He's calling this morning. He's stirring our hearts. He's stirring our minds to refocus. Maybe you've lost your focus. For those of you who are saved, I'm not challenging your salvation, but I am challenging maybe the way you live. See, there's a better way to live. When we need to live like Christ, for Christ. We need our life to line up with biblical core values. And when they don't line up, and he'll show them, we sing it today, my flesh may fail. And he never leaves us. But when he's dealing with us and we're struggling in the flesh, keep struggling. Stay a hold of Jesus. Stay hold of the grace of God. He's got hold of you, and don't let go. And don't quit heeding the call until you're living like Jesus in that area of your life. And it's miraculous. He'll do the work. His grace is sufficient because His power is made perfect in our weakness. And when that struggle's going on and our behavior does not line up with Christian behavior. What is a Christian after all? It's not just somebody that calls himself a Christian, because everybody that says they're a Christian are not a Christian. Because we need to live like it. We must live like it. And with the grace of Jesus Christ, it's not just unconditional forgiveness. It is. It's not just unconditional love. It is. But it's the power of God that's made real by the power of the Holy Spirit to live what we believe when we can't live it on our own. It's a better way to. It's a better way of living. Oh, gosh. And I got all these from Scripture. What would you rather be, a murderer or an adulterer? It's a great way to live. Matthew 5 and 18, Jesus said, "For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." Whoa. Yeah. Jesus said that. And all would say later that Jesus came to fulfill the law a little later. See, in the Old Testament, you had to commit the crime to reap the harvest of that sin. If you committed murder, the penalty for murder was they're going to stone you to death. But you had to commit the crime. In the New Testament, Jesus would consider anger towards somebody murder. It's a higher standard. In the Old Testament, adultery was also the fruit for the crime was stoning. In the New Testament, Jesus said, if you look at somebody lustfully, you've already committed adultery. Whew. It's a higher standard. It's a higher way of living. It's a better way to live. And you know what makes it better? Is when you struggle, and I just mentioned two things that are a little extreme, but we study struggle with dozens of things. Jesus gets rid of them for us. If I have an envious heart, because envy is sin, but you know, when it's there sometimes. I never struggled with envy. I struggled with some other things in my life. But guess what? The higher way is through the power of Jesus Christ. I don't have to live with envy in my heart. That's the good news. If you're struggling with anger, which could be considered murder in the New Testament. In the New Testament. You don't have to live with anger. Jesus has made a way for you to live anger free. Somebody give me an amen. And on and on and on and on. We don't have to live with the things of the flesh or the sins of the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye and the boastful pride of life. 1 John 2:15. We don't have to live that way. And when we can't figure it out on our own, we say, Jesus, I need help in this area of my life. Here it is. I don't like being this way. It's not a good way to live. And Jesus comes and frees us and cleanses us and forgives us and takes that garbage out of our life. We do not have to live with garbage in our life. Because of what Christ did at Calvary, that's good news. Oh, He's calling this morning. I wrote in my notes, I don't have these things in my heart anymore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to give God a clap offering right now for some of the things He's taken out of our heart. Because this is an inward thing, not an outward thing. Glory to Jesus, You set me free. Woo! I don't have to live with it any longer. I'm free. I lost a little sanctification on that one move. That's my bad hip. We been called from, these are all scriptural, and I don't have time to read. We've been called from labor to rest. We've been called from death to life. We've been called from bondage to liberty. We've been called from darkness to light. We've been called from bondage to peace. We've been called to fellowship with His Son, and on and on and on. And somebody say hallelujah to that. But you have to heed the call. You have to hear the phone ringing. You've got to pick the phone up and you have to respond, because the favor of God rests on those who heed the call, not just those who wear the name. I'm a Christian. I don't know what level salvation kicks in. Justification by faith, I guess. I trust God as my Savior. And I'm going. And if you really do, you are. I don't know where that line is as it is in regards to behaviors, because it's a lifelong process, as I've talked about. But I tell you, if you want the favor of God on your heart, your faith, not, look, you have to line up with His help and behave like the scripture teaches us. Favor comes to those that obey God. And it's not like this. Listen to me. My devotion was about this early this morning. We should live to please God, but that's not the object. God is already pleased with us because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And when I know Almighty God is pleased with me, there's liberty and grace and power for me to please Him. And it's not an effort. That's freedom. That's liberty. What do you mean? I can give you... God is pleased with His children. Not always our behaviors. Not always our missteps. But He loves us, church. If you could ever get in your spirit that Jesus Christ really loves you, your behaviors would come in line. By obeying the call, by being recipients of the favor of God, by hearing the call, heeding the call, obeying the call, doing things God's way, we are made sons of God. We are made children of God. We are made servants of God. We are made saints, believe it or not, and not sinners. We are made witnesses of Almighty God. We are made workers together with God. We are called to a higher calling. We are made the church, a city on a hill that's shining for this lost world to hear. We have a heavenly calling. Calling every one of us, and God is calling this morning. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. And lastly, but not leastly, it's a higher calling, it's a better way to live, and this segues, they're very similar, but you got to catch it. They're not completely the same. It's not just a better way to live. It's a blessed way to live. Whew. Jesus begins this sermon with what we know as the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes is another word used to describe the word blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are who hunger and thirst. Blessed, 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 blessed. We're going to study that the next few months. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Jesus wants His people to be blessed. And I know there's, I don't want to go there this morning. I'm going to teach you the biblical way to be blessed. We see so much stuff out there on the edge with the, you know, the prosperity healing, some of those streams, not all of them, but some of them get so far out on the edge, they're not even Bible anymore. And y'all know what I'm talking about. And so what happens if we're not careful, because we love Jesus and we want to be His disciples and we're heeding the call, we swing all the way over here, and then we're Christians like, golly, if I'm blessed, I must be out of balance. They've gone so far over here. Then what we do, we swing all over here. Never supposed to laugh. Never supposed to have joy. Oh, Lord. Lord, Lord. That giving thing. Oh, never going to be healthy. And we start focusing on all the things we can't have or not going to be, never will be. all the things we can't do because we swung over here from all over here. When the Bible clearly, clearly teaches that when we're His children, His sons, His daughters, He wants to bless us. In fact, the whole series on the Beatitudes is about how He wants to bless us. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. And the word blessed in the Greek here means to be happy or fortunate. Listen, children of God, Jesus wants you to be happy. I didn't say that you wouldn't have trials. I didn't say what you would drive or not drive. I didn't say how big your 401ks is, although I think we all ought to have them if we can. I just said, Jesus wants us to be happy. Of course, when we see Him someday, we're going to be happy, happy, happy. We're going to see Christ, and we're going to spend eternity in heaven with Christ forever. We can't comprehend it, but on this earth, as we heed the call and live for God, favor comes from God, and regardless through good times or bad times, down times, up times, I can be happy in Jesus. Happy. Yes, we go through times of sorrow. Yes, we go through times of grieving. We're going to study that. Even mourning produces happiness. That's another lesson. He said, happy, happy, happy are the poor in spirit. He wants us to believe. The Hebrew version of that word means to go straight. And it means mostly happiness and bliss. It's a real, like, joy. Happiness. Psalms 1 and 2. 1 and 2 says this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit at this company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on His law day and night. Can you say hallelujah? Psalm 119 verses 1 and 2 said, blessed. So you see it all through the scripture. Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. And another translation would say the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their heart. Oh man. There's blessing for people that live by God's word and walk in accordance with it. It's not just this, and I'm closing now, I really am, but there's a divine favor God wants to give to His children. Let me just be silly, but it happens to some people because they believe it. You're in that shopping center, and I tell you, you said, you know, I'm blessed. I'm going to get a front row. And you know, though people do that. I go in, I just say, well, I need to walk. I'll go ahead and park back here. I'm being a little silly. But the favor of God, I said the favor of God, the favor of God rests on your life. The favor of the Almighty rests on your life. The favor of the Almighty rests on your life. Why shouldn't we be blessed? Why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we be ecstatic? Why shouldn't we live a better way? Why shouldn't we be passionate? When a blessing, He opens doors that nobody else can open. And thank God because of the favor of God. He closes doors that need to be closed in my life. Hallelujah. He protects me from the enemy. People used to say, Dale, you're just a child of favor. You're just a child of favor. Some of my friends and family members, and I just kept my mouth shut. I wanted to hit them. Because you don't want to boast about it, but in my mind, I said, it's got nothing to do with Dale Gray, because Dale Gray was in Egypt, but I serve a God who took me out of Egypt. And when I made Jesus Christ the Savior of my life, He saved me forever, but He blesses me every day, and favor comes to my life and your life, and it won't come any other way. It's not coming anywhere else but God. He's the Father of lights that blesses, that does not change like shifting shadows, James said. I am blessed. I am blessed. I'm getting hoarse every day of my... If you're our guest, I'm a little silly sometimes. Just go with it. Go with it. Go with it. Are you happy this morning? Get happy. Some of you need to tell your face. I'm just teasing on that, really. No, not really. Yep, no. Well, whatever. What? I'm happy. Hallelujah. I really want to be a Christian. You walk to work tomorrow and gripe and groan and complain like everybody else. Oh, Dale, get focused. Isn't God good? I sense His love and His goodness and His grace. I mean, I sense it here this morning. He's calling. He's reaching. He's pulling. He's tugging because He loves us. Saved and unsaved alike, He loves us. And I'll tell you what, there's some kind of expectation. I shared that with you about a month ago in the business. There's an expectation in me for you and your families and what's going on in your world that God wants to bless you. Keep your hands open and your heart open and let God bless you. Expect God to open doors. Expect God to lead you. Expect God to do something in your life because He teaches us right here that He is expecting to bless us and we can be happy. We can be happy. Jesus makes people happy. It's not the tangible. I hope all of you have retirements and lots of money in the bank. Jesus has no problem with money. Love of money, but some are millionaires, some aren't. It's just money. You can have a little or a lot of money and still not be happy. But you can have Jesus and be happy with a little or a lot. Paul said that to the Philippian church. Little or a lot, I'm content because he had Christ. He was blessed. A blessing is a heavy thing. I wish I had time. A blessing that comes from God is a heavy thing, a good heavy thing, a wonderful thing. God blesses you. You bless others. Bless your children. Bless your wives. Bless people at work. It's a powerful, heavy dynamic that only God understands. And we're blessed. There's a story of an old homeless drunkard who lived his entire life in the slums of Chicago. For many years, he'd come in and out of this particular mission. One night, he walks into the mission. He walked into the mission and he ate a meal. He heard the word. He did not accept Christ. He went to sleep and he never woke up again. This man died in poverty without friends. When he went to bed, never to see another day. What he didn't know, and they found out after they identified the man, that a family member had been looking for him for something like 20 years. And the reason this family member was looking for this poor, homeless drunkard was that there was an inheritance waiting for him for $4 million. The authorities had never been able to find him because he had no address. He had an inheritance and he didn't know it. He had all the material wealth he could ever use, but he lived and died in poverty. Church, and I think you understand what I'm saying. We do not have to live and die in poverty when we have Christ in our heart, His glorious riches in our life. I'm not talking finances, I'm talking all the riches of God. And it's time as Christians we quit living like that and heed the call to come up and receive the blessing of God. There's a richness. that comes from Christ that's available to all. And He wants to bless us. There is an incomprehensible, I've tried to describe it and it's still frail. There is an incomprehensible happiness for those who participate in Christ's kingdom. Something deep, something beautiful, something blessed. And it's not found in what we have, but who we are. Play the whole thing. Will you stand with me? Jesus is calling this morning. Will you answer?